All right, so now that we got college football and the Big Ten off the ground, college basketball is not very far away. In about a month, it will start. I think Big East Media Days, virtual Big East Media Days, are coming up on Wednesday. The Summit League has their kind of virtual Media Days tonight. Later today, they'll announce the preseason balloting, which yours truly gets a vote in. But there is a significant development going on in college basketball right now. Remember way back in the day, we talked about bubbles and how big that was going to be in college basketball after the success of the NBA and the NHL? Why not put student-athletes in a bubble? Well, those have fallen apart. And it's been more now the discussion around college basketball is protect conference games at all costs. Some conferences know how many non-conference games they can play. Some still don't know a month out as they're trying to put together a schedule. And it's a mess trying to put together a non-conference schedule. But, for example, mid-major conferences are playing back-to-back games. For example, the Summit League. Omaha will open up hosting Oral Roberts on a Saturday and Sunday. Normally, they will play on Friday and Saturday, but that's the first weekend of the year, and they don't want to play on New Year's Day. So you'll play four teams on a Friday, Saturday, kind of like hockey, and then you'll play four teams on the road. So it cut down on travel, but most importantly, trying to make sure that you get your conference games in. So that's become more of a discussion instead of the bubble. And what has happened is, remember, Nebraska was in the Myrtle Beach tournament that got moved to Orlando, and everybody was going to go into the bubble where the NBA had just come out of. ESPN has announced within the hour that they are not going to host a bubble in Orlando. So a month out, there are some really good teams that are now going to be searching for games that were going to go to Orlando and playing that bubble. But there was a lot of discussion over the weekend about testing, when you test players. If they've already tested positive, do you test them again? There was not any uniformity when it came to testing. And so that bubble is not going to exist. So what happens to Nebraska, for example, in their MTE that they're hosting, they're still looking for some teams. They could add some teams that all of a sudden are out in the cold, so to speak, looking for non-conference opponents. Preserve the conference games at all costs. If you got to play, if you have time at the end of the year to play non-conference games, great. But you have to play your conference games. And even if that is one game a week, and you just play one game a week, maybe that's the thing. But bubbles are out, back-to-back nights playing in your conference where you're playing the same team on back-to-back nights on the same floor seems to be in. All right, we'll check in with the head coach, Scott Frost. He's on his Zoom press conference slated to join us at 12:30. A couple of emails on the discussion about Saturday's game, things that are left over, if your opinion has changed on the record. Justin drops us a line. Okay, so maybe I'm crazy. People calling for Martinez to be benched already for Luke. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the only point scoring drives we had were Adrian was at quarterback, right? I'm not crazy. I mean, I think Luke needs to be on the field somewhere, but at quarterback, I am skeptical. He looked very average when he was actually playing quarterback. All his success seemed to come from running back. That's something that's not changing. Adrian Martinez will remain the starting quarterback. And Nebraska didn't lose the game because of the way the quarterbacks play. Now, both fumbled. That's a problem for Adrian Martinez. That may be a problem for Luke McCaffrey. Got to get that fixed. Seven drives that were dirty, penalties or a turnover, no points. Three drives that were clean were points. Nebraska was much better in the red zone. Now, they only attempted one pass in the red zone, and that was the pass that Martinez threw to Warner, where you got to catch that football. But Nebraska got into the red zone. They got a couple of touchdowns, and they got a field goal. So you feel better about your red zone offense. You also feel like now that you're incorporating the tight end more, you have that target. But still, got to find a wide receiver. I think if you're looking at judging these quarterbacks, and if you know Scott's history with Adrian, he wants to give him the most viable options. Well, the most viable options were not out there at wide receiver. I thought there was only maybe one throw that Martinez forced. It was a controlled passing game. It was high percentage throws. His biggest thing's got to take care of the ball. And please look up. There are times that he runs with his head down or doesn't look all the way downfield, whether you're looking for explosive plays 20 yards or more. But please look up. With McCaffrey, he provided a spark. And I agree with Justin. There's some things to work on in terms of passing the football. I thought there were times on Saturday also that the two-headed monster of quarterback felt gimmicky. I understand why it was put in, because there was a challenge to Ohio State, especially on that opening drive. I mean, Nebraska, for the most part, schemed up a lot of things that if you get inside of formations, it was football porn to you. Sometimes it wasn't executed perfectly. But they had time to draw up plays, and I thought the first 25 plays or so that were scripted and were practiced over and over, Nebraska executed those. And you could see on that opening drive when they brought McCaffrey in and the way they used him out of a counter that confused Ohio State, and Ohio State front seven weren't able to pick up right away what Nebraska was running. McCaffrey then is running free. He brings energy. He does bring a spark. But is this going to be the game plan moving forward? If it is, that tells me a lot about the trust factor with the rest of the skill guys that are not named Wandale Robinson or even Dedrick Mills. That we don't trust our wide receivers enough that we've got to bring Luke McCaffrey out, and Luke McCaffrey's going to play a lot, and he's going to be all over the field. I get you want to have your best players on the field, and those are two of your best skill guys. But to me, it felt gimmicky. I don't think you'll see the volume that they use that two-headed monster on Saturday for the rest of the season, because people are going to be looking for it. Now, you could run different things with both of them that you didn't use against Ohio State, but I don't. Now you've got tape, and people are going to be very aware of that. But there was nothing on Saturday that said Adrian Martinez has lost his job. Now, I think what you're going to hear if you listen closely to Martinez after the game, that's his job. He knows that's his job, and Luke McCaffrey is a compliment. He's trying to say that in the nicest way, but that's his job right now as the starting quarterback. You've got to find weapons for whoever the starting quarterback is, whether it be relying on a Dedrick Mills to run the football, Ohio State, or Wisconsin, excuse me, against Illinois, and Illinois was porous. 45-7, it felt much worse. Defense didn't even give up a point for Wisconsin. The Illinois offense got as far as the 28-yard line. The only score that Illinois had in that game was a fumble that was returned for a touchdown. But you like your offensive line. The offensive line on Saturday showed enough that they're going to be fine. You can run the ball behind them. You got to fix Farniok, because if he can't fix himself, he got to find a way to get on the bench, because you can't have that. He was the poorest of the starting offensive linemen. And you were starting a brand new player in his first start. And Ben Hart was good. Not great, solid. You're not talking about the bad of him for somebody that's starting his first game. Farniak didn't play well. Nebraska had a good design on how to run the ball out of different formations and what they wanted to do. That offensive line is going to be okay. Need more Mills this weekend against Wisconsin. But you need more downfield options. Whatever drama is going on in the wide receiver room, get it fixed. And that probably more pertains to the guys that are inside of that room. Grow up. Be better. Do something that you're not doing where the coaches don't trust you and they're not going to put you on the field. If that's blocking, we could wring our hands and go, really? You're trying to get as many guys on the field, and that's what's holding people back? If that's the case, do better. Because Nebraska right now is playing with one hand behind their back when it comes to offensive explosive plays out of the wide receiver game. Wandale Robinson only touched the ball six times. Now, that's a shock. Mills running the ball nine times, Robinson only touching it six times. Very much a shock. I can see the tight end's going to be an important part of this offense, and there's a good collection of tight ends. It sucks that Jack Stoll is probably out for the year. That was a bad hit on the knee. Did not look good at all. But you have three other tight ends that are going to be okay in the passing game. But what's going to happen in the wide receiver game? And maybe we're hoping for too much, thinking, man, Nebraska really doesn't want to have a downfield passing game. They maybe want to be safe and go with a controlled passing game. It's not like Nebraska even last year blew the doors off people by throwing the ball downfield. They didn't do it very often. A lot of Nebraska's activity in the passing game is a couple of yards ahead of the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage. But whoever that is and whatever idea you have, You got to get better. You got to find somebody that can stretch the field, that can go downfield. Or maybe in talking this through, it shows you the confidence level on the two quarterbacks they're feeding the wide receiver. But whatever it is, Nebraska must find answers in that position so that they can have explosive plays and they can stretch the field. And it's not just dump it off to Wandale Robinson and let him wiggle through some holes and try and find some yardage, because that's a hindrance. And you didn't have, you know, and it may be at the end of the day, this is a one game. It was the first game. And the plan was, knowing we don't have anything established at wide receiver yet, let's go with a little bit of a gimmicky two quarterbacks on the field, use a little bit of Robinson, and see what that gets us. Another factor, Nebraska didn't run a lot of plays. Did not run a lot of plays on offense. But you can't make your hay the rest of the year not having guys out of the wide receiver room step up. I would think yesterday, today, in practice, if I'm a wide receiver, and I'm not here for any more Omar Manning drama. If you're going to play, you're going to play. If not, get the hell off social media, okay? Can't wait to get out there with my brothers and then delete it. You know what? Most people can't wait for you to get on the field. How about focus on getting on the field? Whatever you got to take care of on and off the field, do it, because you have an opportunity. Any of those guys have an opportunity. Nebraska can't live with the collection of wide receivers that they had that played a majority of the time on Saturday. They just can't, and expect to win in the Big Ten. All right, 12-17, head coach coming up at the bottom of the hour.